So our guest speakers today are Christine Woody and Chris Gunther from Empower Missouri. Although I guess Chris is more cheerleader than she is speaker, but that's important too. Empower Missouri is a 100-plus-year-old citizen membership organization founded in 1901. It's previously been known as the Missouri Conference on Correction and Charities, as well as the Missouri Association for Social Welfare. The organization began as a statewide professional forum for philanthropists, government employees of human service agencies, and private charity professionals. Empower Missouri became a more activist organization in 1910 with its first legislative committee and advocating for changes in public policy to improve social conditions. So a little bit about our speaker. For over 12 years, Christine Woody has been the task force and chapter coordinator for Empower Missouri. In this role, she works extensively on the issues of hunger and nutrition programs and criminal justice. Prior to working for Empower Missouri, Christine was a case manager and after-school program coordinator at Guardian Angel Settlement Association in St. Louis City. She has a bachelor's degree in theology and a master's degree in social work from St. Louis University. She currently serves on Catholic Charities of St. Louis's Advocacy Council and on the Parish Council for St. Louis Borromeo Catholic Church. She lives in St. Charles with her husband Paul and their two sons, Brendan and Alexander. Our cheerleader, Chris Gunther, is on the board at Empower Missouri and was a Missouri National Education Association president from 2007 to 2013. She was also a former colleague of Jill Alls. Christine and Chris will talk about the many social justice activities in which Empower Missouri is involved. And after their talk, there will be time for questions from the floor, as well as an opportunity for members to ask additional questions one-on-one after the program is over. So a big welcome to Christine and Chris.
Thank you all so much for having me here today. Good? Perfect. All right, so as Stephanie said, I'm Christine Woody. I am from here in St. Charles, and I've been with Empower Missouri for over 12 years now. I'm going to talk a little bit about our organization, about some of the issues that we work on, and then a little bit about just how you can be an advocate and how you can speak up about the issues that you all care about to your legislators as well. So Stephanie actually gave a really good introduction about the history of Empower Missouri, so I won't go in it too deeply. But as she said, we have been around since 1901. We really started out by just gathering folks together to talk about these issues, people who across the state who were really interested in more, a lot of the times during like the Industrial Revolution, a lot of workers' rights, child labor laws, practices that were happening in factories, really kind of addressing social justice and issues that were affecting the residents of the state of Missouri and how they're working and working conditions and just making sure that it was a just environment to live. We were the Missouri Association for Social Welfare for the majority of our history. Then in 2014, we rebranded and called ourselves Empower Missouri. That was for a couple different reasons. Missouri Association for Social Welfare, which was MASW for short, a lot of times got confused with the National Social Worker Organizations. They call themselves the NASW. So we are not a social worker organization. We do have a lot of social workers who are involved in our organization, are involved with the issues that we work on, but we're not solely for social workers. And then, as you all probably know, the word welfare has definitely changed in connotation over the years. So it has become something that it was not maybe when we started. So that name just needed a little bit of rebranding to really talk about what we are and what we do. We really see ourselves as an organization that's here to empower the folks of Missouri to really stand up for the issues that they care about and really make a difference, not just in their communities, but also in the legislature, who are really passing the laws that really govern what we do. So our mission currently is to provide the leadership, the research, the education, and advocacy to improve public policies and programs impacting the health and welfare of the people in Missouri. So we really are broad-based. A lot of the issues we work on, many times organizations really focus on one specific issue. So they'll work on housing and homelessness, or they'll work on criminal justice, or they'll work on access to health care. And we really see how all of those issues are interconnected, that if there's someone, for example, who's dealing with homelessness, many times they're also dealing with health and mental health issues. Many times they're being affected by the criminal justice system. We don't live in silos, and the individuals that we work with and are advocating for also don't live in silos. All of those issues are so interconnected that you really can't just advocate on one of them without advocating for all of them at the same time. So it makes a lot of work for us, but we really see the importance of focusing on all of those issues to really make the world and the state of Missouri in particular a better, more just-filled state. So we really work to keep individuals and organizations. We work really closely with a lot of nonprofit organizations that do more of the direct service work, be that a Salvation Army or St. Patrick's Center or Community Council of St. Charles County. Organizations that do more of the direct service work, we really try to inform them about the policies and the bills that are happening in the late state legislature that are not only going to affect them as an organization, but affect the clients that they're working with. So we really do a lot of education in addition to direct advocacy with the legislators that are passing the laws. So those are really the issues that we focus on mostly: housing, homelessness, criminal justice, economic justice, health and mental health, human rights, and hunger. So I thought I'd just share a little bit about some of the more specific statistics, background about some of the issues that we work on, just to give you a little bit better picture about the scope of some of the work that we do. So the first one I have is just poverty in general. These are just some specifics, data steps that we have. I know Chris passed brought, which you all are more than welcome to have. We work in collaboration with a group of organizations called the Missourians to End Poverty. And every year they put, is it every 2 years? Every year, every 2 years, they put together what they call the Missouri Poverty Report. It's a great resource in terms of data and statistics about poverty and other issues around poverty, and resources and just information about those. So you are more than welcome to have this. A lot of the statistics that I share in here are in this information. So feel free, if you want one of those, to take it. So you can see up there some of the poverty numbers. 13.4% of Missourians live in official poverty. And what does that mean? So the federal poverty level is set by the federal government. It's a specific number about how much you can make depending on how many people you have in your family. So for a family of one, if you make this amount of money or less, you're considered in poverty. The way that that federal poverty level was set up decades and decades ago is if you take the amount of food cost and then multiply it by three, I believe, that sets the poverty level. And as you know, the way that the cost of food and the cost of rent and the cost of things are not the same as they were, that number is really outdated in terms of how you are officially in poverty. So right now, a family of three is officially below the poverty level. This was 2016. I didn't get to update the numbers. So it's gone up just a little bit every year with inflation. It's $20,160, so for a year. What the poverty level really bases on is a lot of programs that families and individuals can access. So like food stamps, you have to be under a certain level for poverty level. Housing vouchers, things like that are based on that poverty level. And then the last statistic I always find very interesting, a lot of people in our state, a lot of legislators in our state really see poverty as a city issue, that it's an urban core issue. I find it fascinating to say that over child poverty rates of over 40% in those counties in the state. Dunklin, Mississippi, Pemzicott, St. Louis City, Wayne, and Shannon. A lot of those are in the Boot Heel. A lot of those are rural counties. So poverty is not something that's just an urban problem. It's throughout our state. This is a map that also shows the poverty rates. The darkest color is the highest poverty rate. So you can see the St. Louis City dot, but you could also see a lot of the Southeast Missouri is also in that. But, I mean, to say that, I mean, we're here in St. Charles County, so, right, they have it as 6.3%, but I'm sure all of you know that there are lots of families in our state, in our county specifically, that are also suffering and living in poverty. So even though we're one of the better counties, it's still happening here in St. Charles County. So a little bit about hunger. So what the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, they call it SNAP, is what was formerly called food stamps. Is the kind of the food voucher program that you get a certain amount of money that can buy perishable items of food. Over 700,000 Missourians use the food stamps program in Missouri right now. And that was in December of 2018. And then the TANF program is the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. That's more of the cash benefit. So that was what you typically think of as welfare. A lot of the individuals that are on that are single moms. That program has changed dramatically over the last few probably decades. They've had time limits added to it. They've had a lot of restrictions added to it. So that number is dramatically dropped. There's only now 22,000 people in the state that are on that can still qualify because they've either been kicked off because of the time limits, they've never been able to fit because of the work requirements, other things like that. Additionally, it's only $292 a month for a family of three. That has not been raised since 1991. My executive director, when I asked her about that when I was making this up, she's like, yes, it was raised in 1991, but that was only by $3. And before that, it was not since like 1970. So I probably should have added that. So it's not a lot of money. So people aren't really getting rich on this assistance program. Health in Missouri. There's over 900 Missourians who are on Medicaid. That includes the CHIP program, which is for the Children's Health Insurance Program. As you can see, that includes that many children. We work really closely with the Missouri Foundation for Health. That foundation is based here in St. Louis. That was started a few decades ago when Blue Cross and Blue Shield, that big insurance giant, went from being a nonprofit to a for-profit company. And the way that all worked out, I don't know all the details. I know our organization was really involved in that lawsuit, but it turned out that they made a lot of money on that. And so the way that it worked is they, when they sued them, they had to take part of their money and start this foundation. So they started the Missouri Foundation for Health, which has done amazing work when this had started by giving lots of grants to a lot of amazing organizations doing really great work. They also do a lot of research on healthcare in the state of Missouri. So the Missouri Foundation for Health, through all of their work, also thinks that there's a lot of Missourians who are still uninsured. Yes. A lot of them would be, yes. So a lot of those are folks who don't make enough money to make Medicaid, but also don't qualify or it's still too much money in the marketplace. Yes. Yes. The other issue that I work closely with is we work on criminal justice and changing some of the justice reforms throughout the state. So these are just some statistics about criminal justice throughout the country. 7 million people are under control in our justice system right now in the United States. That doesn't mean in prison or in jails, but that also means on probation or on parole. Do we need a mark? Is there? Okay, good. Missouri's prison population continues to rise. Since 1987, it's increased by 200%. And even in just the last, how many years? Nine years? We've continued to increase by 5%. A lot of states are reducing their prison population, which is a very good thing. They're passing a lot of great criminal justice reform. And as I get further in, there is some positive news because Missouri has really kind of gotten on board with the idea of doing some criminal justice reform. That's the one positive in all of this. 2.7 million children have a parent who is incarcerated in every given day. And I think a point that a lot of people forget is that 95% of the people in prison right now will return to their community. So they will need to find a job. They'll need to reacclimate with their families. They need to be integrated back into the community that they came. That's a lot of people that have been taken away for many years and then need to come back to their community. So I think that's a point that a lot of people don't think about with the criminal justice system. And then those families and individuals who are coming back, they face a lot of collateral consequences. And that is they can't apply for jobs as easily. They can't be part of some of the government assisted programs because of their records. They can't get certain grants for education. So there's a lot of things that because you have that record now that you can't do. Did you have a question about that? No. So Missouri does not have any private prisons. Yes. Yes. That's a very good thing. Yes.
The 2.7 million children, is that a Missouri number or a
national number? Yes.
That's a lot.
Yeah. All right. So like I said, we do a lot of work with the state legislature. We do some work on the federal level, specifically around hunger. So food stamps, WIC, all of those programs are federally regulated. So we do some work advocating on the federal level. But most of the work we do is in the Missouri state legislature. So the Missouri state legislature is in session from January until May every year. So we are right in the middle of the heart of the legislative session. So I want to talk a little bit about some of the bills that we're working on and some of our priorities for the upcoming year. So as I said, criminal justice reform is something that we're working on right now and having some success on, which is a positive thing. So we're really working on reducing the number of persons incarcerated while protecting public safety, and I think you can do both. We really want to work on allowing more judicial discretion. Right now, there's some mandatory minimum sentencing. So if they get convicted of a crime, the judge has to sentence them to this minimum amount. There's no discretion with that at all. They have no say depending on who the person is or what the crime was or how it all came to be. They have to sentence them to this. Really working on more geriatric parole is what the term is. So after you've been in prison for so many years, the chance that you're going to reoffend and commit crime, they always say that you kind of age out of crime, that after so long, there's really not really any public safety risk. So why are we keeping these folks locked up forever and ever? And then another thing that we have a coalition working on is updating some of the HIV policies. So in the state of Missouri, on the books, there are still policies regarding HIV that can enhance your crime. So if you have HIV, so this is not my expertise area, so I don't want to speak too much out of turn, but on the books, there's still laws that enhance your sentencing if you are convicted of HIV. And it's the only illness or disease that can have an enhancement because of the crime. It's because of outdated rules. So we have a coalition that's really working to change that, and we've had some success on that as well, which is a good thing. Yes?
So are you saying, if you get convicted of something stupid, like stealing a car, are you talking like...
No, it's more specific than that. So it's either, like, if you... I feel like if it's something you spit on... one of the prosecutor or the criminal people who work in the jail, or if it's a sex crime, I think if you know that you have HIV, then you can have an enhanced sentencing. So there are more specific nuances, and I am not the expert on that, so I don't know all the ins and outs. But it's not just if you get caught stealing because you have HIV, you can have an enhanced sentence. So no, it's more nuanced than that, for sure.
When you say enhanced, you mean longer?
Yes, yes, yes. 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 There's a lot of talk and bill movements regarding some drug policy changes. Yes. And marijuana specifically. Yes. Uh-huh.
Speaking of the marijuana, since we just passed, last November we passed medical.
Yes.
Is there any
Yes, there is a bill, and I think I put it on my list. When we get there, let me see if it's on my list, and if not, I will address what I do know about it. But yes, yes. The other work that we work closely on is strengthening our safety net, and we say the safety net is the TANF, the food stamps, any programs that help families who are in poverty kind of just stay afloat. So we do a little bit on different issues regarding food stamps and TANF, just building that stronger base of advocates to really show people the positive impact that those safety net programs have on families and on communities. There's so much negative connotation on so many of those programs that people are on them forever, that they don't work, they're lazy, that really making folks understand that they are super important, that they really help families who are living in poverty. They're not on there forever. Most of them are working if they can work. So just make kind of changing the narrative around that. So looking at some of the positive signs this session already. So we have Governor Parson now, who's our governor, because of that changeover. The way that our criminal justice system has continually increased, our prisons are overcrowded. And he has pledged that he will not build any new prisons, which means they're going to have to do something. So that shows us some positive signs of doing some criminal justice reform. The Speaker of our House, which is Representative Haar, he also set up this special committee on criminal justice reform. And Representative Shamed Dogan, he's a Republican from Baldwin. He's the chair of that committee, and he has been really helpful in criminal justice reform. All of the bills that are moving have gone through his committee, and he has given them all hearings, and he has passed through quite a few of them. So having this special committee that's really focused on that, led by someone who really sees the value in criminal justice reform, is a positive thing. So these are the HIV modernization bills that I had talked about. Representative Holly Rader is a Republican. Representative Tracy McCreary is a Democrat, and they both filed HIV modernization bills. They've both had hearings. We've done a lot of outreach on legislators to talk about what that really means. The way strategically that works, Representative Holly Rader has the bill that most likely will pass. Representative Tracy McCreary has a bill that has everything plus more that we want that probably won't pass. But it's just a strategic move to get something passed. But they're working really closely together, which is a great thing. And then here's some of the criminal justice bills that I talked about. All of our criminal justice bills that we're working on are sponsored by Republicans. If you're not aware, we have majority Republican in both the House and the Senate and in the governor's house. And so to get things passed, you need to have a Republican sponsor. As I said, the Republicans have got on board with some of the criminal justice reforms, and we have sponsors on that side of the aisle for all of them. Here's just a few of them that are moving. A lot of them having to do with the mandatory minimums. A lot of them having with the geriatric parole. The last one talks about the collateral consequences. So to apply for professional licenses, you have to submit an application to the state, and they have these, you know, councils or committees for all the different professional registration here. Social worker, all of those things. A lot of them you have to mark if you have a felony, and sometimes they're blanketly just denied because of that. So it's going to make that easier, which is also a good thing. Okay, I don't think I had the marijuana one on there. I took that off. Representative Hicks, who's actually from out in this area, has a bill that if you have the medical marijuana card now and you have a conviction of marijuana on your record, that you can get that expunged off of your record. And that's a retroactive one. Yes, and that actually is moving as well. So here's a little bit more about the HIV one. We had a committee hearing on both of those. It's in the Mental Health Committee, and these are the members who are on that committee. It has not passed out. I'm trying to see if there's any that are out here and St. Charles. Schroer, he's in St. Charles. That might be it in St. Charles.
Hill.
Thank you. Another bill that we're working on. So as I said, SNAP, which is the food stamps program, is federally administered, but there are some intricacies and the way that it's run that can be legislated by the state. What the state is wanting to do is have work requirements kind of set up in the bill, that if you are an adult between these certain ages, you have to be required to work 20 hours per week. A lot of the families that can work do work. So I think our biggest problem with this is, yes, we think it's important that families work, but the way that they're going to have this set up, it's going to be a work tracking program where you have to go sign in and they have to fill out this paperwork and they have to submit it. And if it doesn't get submitted right every week, then they have they'll be suspended for 3 months. And then if it happens again and they don't track it correctly, then they'll be suspended for a certain amount of time. And the way that our food stamps program is run currently is that because the state of Missouri does not have an adequate budget, they keep cutting people who are in that program who are workers. So the infrastructure that is running the program is not set up enough to adequately run a whole new work tracking sort of a program that's being pushed on people. So yes, we think working is super important. If you can work, it's a lot, all the red tape and signing into the system and making sure that you track every week that you have 20 hours and you submit it. It's just a lot of extra burden when a lot of families who can work, who aren't elderly, who aren't disabled, are already working if they can work. So SNAP work requirement is something that they're really trying to push through this year. It's also being discussed on the federal level. And we just don't know how the state of Missouri could accurately make it work with the infrastructure that we have set up right now. But it's moving. So Senate Bill 4 is one of the bills that we're really concerned about. So the way that it works in the Senate is that they can filibuster, so the House can't do that. So the Senate can just stand up, and a senator can just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk for hours and hours and hours, and that's a way that some bills can get stalled. We have quite a few senators who say that they're willing to do that for this bill just because they really disagree with what's going to happen. Yes? Yeah. Yes. 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 Right. Yes. No, that's very true. I didn't think about that. But I mean, yeah, that's the other thing is a lot of these individuals who are working are in those jobs where your hours fluctuate anyway. 1 week you get 18, 1 week you get 35, you know, so yes. Yes. There is a way to get exempt, or there is a lot of exemptions. So I'm not going to say this is like everyone is going to get cut if you don't work. So there are exemptions, and I'm sure that there are ways to, if you have a doctor's note or you have an explanation, that there is ways to get through that. So I'm not going to say that, well, you're sick, you're going to be cut. There's a few steps, but it's steps that are just a lot of steps for families who, many of whom are trying to feed their kids or keep their lights on. So, but yes, there are provisions for all of those kind of things and going through a hearing and all of that. So, yes. Uh-huh.
What about, employers could easily take advantage of this?
Yeah, and that's what he kind of just said. Yes.
But even a greeter that, sexual.
Yes.
I feel like this is almost kind of a horrible thing.
Yes. Yeah. If you don't do this, I'm going to say, yeah, give you not works, then you won't get your food stamps. Yeah. 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 So we work really closely with another organization called the Missouri Budget Project. They really focus on the budget and work on the numbers and really know those intricacies. We're working with them on this Senate Bill 4, which is the work requirement bill. And this is from kind of their research of what they think could be the effect of it if it gets passed. I mean, I think this is the most startling number, the 52,000 kids that could be disqualified. Yeah.
Like the people getting 15 hours a week need the food the most.
Yes.
So, like, yeah.
Yes. It is. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So that leads us to, why is it so important to advocate? Legislators read and vote on hundreds of bills each year. Like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bills are filed each year. Things going from mental health funding to transportation to what's the state ice cream cone flavor, what's the state dinosaur. I mean, so every issue that you can imagine, issues that I can't even think about or comprehend, are being filed. That means that legislators cannot be the expert on everything. Even the most brilliant legislator in the world cannot know every issue that's coming before them. So that really makes them rely on lobbyists, their leadership, and then constituents and people who are in the community that know these issues. So even if you don't think that you know the issue that well, you probably know the issue better than the legislator themselves, unless it's their bill or it's before their committee. So any information that you can pass on to them or talk to them about, even if you don't think you're an expert, you probably know more than they do. So kind of keep that in mind, that they just can't. I mean, even the most brilliant legislator cannot. And that's really how they can be the most informed, is by just hearing from people before they vote. So it's super important to make that information available to them. So what can we do? How can we organize and how can we advocate to kind of change these hearts and minds? So we need to figure out what you're really interested in. There, as I said, there's lots of issues. There's lots of policies that are moving through. So really look at your family and look at your community and really decide what issues you're really the most interested in. So are you concerned about homelessness? Do you have a family member with a mental health issue? Do you work with people who do not have health insurance? Do you have a family member involved in the criminal justice system? Every one of those things have a policy issue that's related to it, that's moving through the legislature right now, that you could learn more about. And then once you figure out what that is, you need to get connected to organizations who are really advocating for change. Because they'll not only educate you more about the issue, they'll really give you a community and an outlet to figure out what action steps you can take. So, for example, here's a few that we work closely with. So myself is with Empower Missouri, National Association for the Mentally Ill, which is NAMI, Missouri Budget Project, National Association for Social Workers. There's lots of other organizations. Visit their website, sign up for newsletters, email alerts. They're all kind of pushing out their action steps on the policies that they're really most passionate about. So what we do in Power Missouri, two times a month, we have just a briefing call that will do a little bit what I did, really just update individuals on the issues, give action steps, share other information. We have these two times a month. The next one is at the end of the month, and that's the information and the call-in number. The call-in number is always the same, and it's open to anyone. And it's a great way really just to kind of keep getting educated on some of these issues. And I'm sure we can have this information after the fact, so you don't have to write it down.
Could you just please read the phone number there?
Sure. Yeah, it's 515-603-3103, and that will patch you to a line that says, "Welcome to the conference center. Type in your passcode," something like that. And then you type in this next number, which is 167-856, and then it asks you to put in the pound sign. And that will patch you through. Yes. Yep. And that's always on those as well. So if you just look up Empower Missouri, we have a Facebook page too. So it will be all in there. We do not record them, no. That's something that we could look into. I am not the technical one, but yeah.
And I can listen to these things while I'm working.
Yeah, okay.
Sit there on the phone.
Let me ask about that. And we also hold educational forums. So Empower Missouri is a statewide organization. We have chapters in Kansas City, Central Missouri. We have a staff person in kind of Southeast and one in Southwest. I work on our St. Louis chapter, and we have educational forums once a month as well. They're based in St. Louis, so we meet actually at Paraquad, which is a nonprofit organization that works with individuals with disabilities and disability rights. So they have a great auditorium space that they let us use. So it's the third Friday of every month we hold a forum, and it's also free. It's from 12 to 1:30. The one that we have this Friday is talking about immigration. And it's kind of looking at it through more of a local lens. So we have four great panelists who are going to talk about that. The one in April, which I have some flyers for that I can leave in the back, which is April 19th, I think it is. We're talking about, the title is the Will of the People Being Followed, an update on the 2018 ballot initiatives. So all those ballot initiatives that didn't pass and or did pass, kind of giving an update of where they are, as in legislative battles to usurp them or judicial battles to change them. We have someone from Metropolitan Congregations United, someone with Jobs with Justice, and then Representative Peter Meredith, who's a state rep from St. Louis. So he'll be talking about the updates on those, which I think will be very interesting and informative as well. Also, you need to learn how the legislative process works. This is very small, and you probably won't be able to read it, but it's the whole Schoolhouse Rock video, how a bill becomes a law thing. And really understanding how that process works really helps you learn who you need to talk to and who you can have the most influence with. So not only just your legislator, the heads of the committees, the head of the House, the head of the Senate, the people who are on the committee that are hearing the bill. So really understanding how the legislative process works is very important when you're trying to do advocacy work. This was put out by the Missouri Foundation for Health. So if you look on their website, if you just search Missouri Foundation for Health, they have a great, I think they even have an updated one now, that really just takes you through the whole process for the state. And then just contacting your policymakers. So if you do not know who your state representative or state senator are, I highly recommend you looking them up. You just go to house.mo.gov, and that will give you a place to search for your person. So you put in your address. I think you also need the last four digits of the zip code, so it's like your zip code plus four. They link you right to the place where you can do that, and it will show not only your state-level legislators, but it will show you everybody that represents you. It's a great thing to look at and to know.
Senate has the same thing.
Yes. Yeah, so you can do it the Senate too, but the House one will give you your senator too when you fill it out. But yeah, you can do Senate as well. And then just how to contact your legislators. So email's easiest, probably not as effective because they get lots of emails, so it's an easy just to delete. A phone call is a little more effective because that's a phone call, but also visiting with them either in Jefferson City or when they're back in from session. So they're off usually on Fridays. Session ends at the end of May. They're still your representative from June 1 all the way back till December 31st. So setting up a time to meet with them for coffee or inviting them to your organization or your neighborhood group or here, maybe, is more good because you get to spend more time with them. They're not as rushed. When they're in Jefferson City, they have committee hearings and time on the floor and meeting with hundreds of people that come through their office. So they're just super busy. But those are all ways that you should and could contact them. Just things to remember as you're being an advocate. So they work for you, and they want to get reelected. So they may not agree with you, and they may not want to change their vote, ultimately. But they, especially your legislators, they are their constituents, so most of them will set up a meeting with you or want to talk with you. I mean, most of them. And especially on the local level, I mean, the federal level is a little different because it's so much bigger. But on the House, they live in your neighborhood. They live in your town. They go to the grocery stores where you go to the grocery store. They bank where you bank. So they're from your area. So they are much more accessible. And remember that you are the expert on the issue. Even if you don't think you are, you probably know more than them on a lot of these issues, unless it's their bill. And even you need to be respectful, even though sometimes that may be difficult. Even if you disagree with them, the way that you approach it can make a huge difference in how you meet. So Jeanette Mott Oxford is our executive director. She was a state representative from South St. Louis City. She was, I think, the first openly lesbian member of the House of Representatives. So many would say that she's far to the left, you might say. But she has connected with and had amazing meetings with even the legislators who are on the far right. Like, she has built bonds with people just because of the way she relates to people, and is so respectful and really has a way to kind of make people feel at ease. And that's the way we're getting anything done. People probably see our organization as maybe on the left, but we've had a lot of success just because of the way we approach things and the way we have to approach things, especially in this legislature. We can't just go in and barnstorm the legislature, because that's going to get the much different reaction. So just keeping that in mind, that it's a difficult job, and if you be respectful, you can get a lot further. And then always send a thank you note after you meet with the legislature. And like I said, keeping in contact with them. Once you build a relationship with your legislator, they're more likely to take a call from you or to be influenced by you. So keep that relationship going. Don't just call them and say, I really hate how you voted on that, but praise them for the things they do good. Keep in contact with them throughout the whole year. Don't just be bill specific, but really get to know them. All right, that's all I have. I think I probably talked way too fast, so I apologize. Yes. Do you want to stand behind the microphone, Chris?
No, I've got...
So we do get funding from Missouri Foundation for Health. We're part of their grantee program. Since we are so old, back in 2000 for our 100 year, we started an endowment, which we almost raised $1 million. So we get endowment funding. We also get some funding from some national organizations that work on hunger and on criminal justice. They kind of give us small grants to do advocacy on those issues. So we don't have any government funding. It's all private foundations and individual donations.
How many people are employed in Empower Missouri?
We have six now.
Say, if she's counting on her hands.
Yeah, no, it's not very many, no. We have a Kansas City, me in St. Louis. We have someone in the Boot Hill area, one in Springfield, and then we have our executive director and our assistant director, so six.
Well, thank you very much again.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful. Great.